For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Authorities ID the man killed on the Appalachian Trail in southwestern Virginia Saturday. He was from Oklahoma. A Virginia law that says only physicians may perform first trimester abortions is still on the books after a judge overrules himself. And the developers of the Mountain Valley Pipeline will pay more than $250,000 in fines for violating environmental rules in West Virginia. This is the WMRA Daily for Wednesday, May 15th. Authorities have identified the man stabbed to death on the Appalachian Trail in southwestern Virginia. The FBI and U.S. Attorney Thomas Collins say 43-year-old Ronald S. Sanchez Jr. of Oklahoma died of injuries he received Saturday. James Jordan of West Yarmouth, Massachusetts, has been charged with murder and assault with intent to murder for allegedly attacking Sanchez and a female hiker. Authorities said Jordan had repeatedly threatened four hikers before chasing them with a knife. Two managed to escape. Authorities have not identified the wounded female hiker, who remains hospitalized. Hikers had complained to authorities in southwestern Virginia and in Tennessee in recent weeks about Jordan allegedly threatening them. A Virginia law that says only physicians may perform first trimester abortions is still on the books after a judge rescinded his own ruling. U.S. District Court Judge Henry Hudson last week found that the law was unduly burdensome to women seeking abortions. Hudson's ruling came ahead of a trial scheduled to begin next week in a lawsuit challenging Virginia's abortion laws. On Tuesday, the judge vacated his order and said he needs to hear more evidence during the trial on whether the law presents an undue burden to women. A lawyer representing the Center for Reproductive Rights said the plaintiffs will present evidence that, quote, medical professionals other than physicians can safely and effectively provide abortion care. Developers of the Mountain Valley Pipeline have agreed to pay a fine of nearly $266,000 for violating environmental regulations in West Virginia. The agreement, outlined in a consent order from the West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection, marks the first financial penalty for problems with stormwater runoff caused by building the 303-mile pipeline. Photographs included in the 179-page document show a drastic change in streams since work on the buried pipeline began last winter, said Angie Rosser, executive director of the West Virginia Rivers Coalition. The Roanoke Times reports the Mountain Valley Pipeline faces similar issues in Virginia. A lawsuit filed in December by the Department of Environmental Quality alleges more than 300 violations of erosion and sediment control measures. That case has not yet been tried in court. The Mountain Valley Pipeline is one of two proposed pipelines being built to carry fracked natural gas from West Virginia into Virginia. A newly elected Virginia delegate who is Muslim said he was harassed by protesters and asked how he planned to implement Sharia law at his first town hall. Delegate Ibrahim Samira said he's disappointed that the small group of protesters attacked his faith at a Saturday event in Northern Virginia. Samira said protesters carried signs denouncing Sharia law and made pointed comments attacking his faith. He said the attacks were especially troubling because they came during Ramadan, the Muslim holy month marked by dawn-to-dusk fasting. Samira, a Democrat, won a special election earlier this year to represent a Northern Virginia district. On Tuesday, the House of Representatives passed a bill introduced by a freshman Virginia congressman. The bill could provide a much better window into the intersection between banking and terrorism, Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
Does your local bank support terrorism? What about corrupt officials in foreign countries or human rights abuses? Fifth District Republican Congressman Denver Riggleman wants to follow the money, which is why he introduced the Banking Transparency Act.
I need to know what I'm voting on, and that's why the Department of Treasury needs to let me know what banks are actually banking people who are under sanctioned support, because I need to go after them, and that's just how I'm wired.
Riggleman may be a freshman member in the minority party, but his bill has bipartisan support. Riggleman says it's a way to put foreign banks and their American subsidiaries on notice that Congress is on the lookout for human rights abuses and corrupt officials.
It's the cascading effects of money in the system, and if we don't go after those bad actors who are trying to inject themselves into our infrastructure, we have a big problem.
Earlier this year, Riggleman worked with Democratic freshman Jennifer Wexton on a bill that creates new authority for the federal government to crack down on international criminals using Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. Reporting from Capitol Hill, I'm Michael Pope.
Many of Virginia's school buildings are tobacco-free, but not all of them. New legislation signed by the governor on Tuesday will change that. Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain reports.
The governor signed the tobacco-free schools bill into law at Tucker High School, where senior Brenna Walker has been an advocate. She lobbied at the General Assembly this year, pushing state lawmakers to take a more active role in limiting access to vaping and nicotine for teenagers.
It's very exciting to know that people care. It's very exciting to know that our voices can be heard.
Delegate Patrick Hope of Arlington says some public schools have 100% tobacco-free campuses, but now all schools will have to.
And it doesn't just apply to students, but it applies to teachers. It applies to other faculty, other professionals on staff, visitors. And it also applies to any school-related event.
Hope says the bipartisan measure sends a strong message that Virginia is serious about keeping kids healthy and safe. I'm Mallory Nopain.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks so much for listening on this Wednesday. I hope you enjoy your day.